today we're talking to Renee Nichols. Professor Nichols is an assistant teaching professor here in the Belisario College of Communications. We're excited to be talking to her today. She's an expert in multicultural communication and diversity, and she's worked in public relations positions in the City of Phoenix, U-Haul International, Arizona Special Olympics, and the Arizona State University Alumni Association. She served as a public relations consultant to organizations such as the National Kidney Foundation, the Maricopa Association of Governments, and many top public relations agencies in Arizona. So she has a wide range of experience, and we're excited to have her join us today. Thank you for joining us, Renee.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Denise.
Yeah, great. So I have some questions for you about our topic for this week, which is diversity in strategic communication. And this week, the students read about race and diversity in public relations and in advertising. In your opinion, why is public relations field, why is the field struggling so much to diversify its employee base?
Wow, Denise, that is an excellent question. I ask myself that question often. I was working in the field. I started working in the field when I started working at the City of Phoenix, and I don't think much has changed in terms of the number of people who are from diverse backgrounds in the field. So that's a great question. So obviously, it definitely starts from, you know, recruitment efforts. Definitely, I think that's probably the biggest thing is we have to get students in the seats who are from diverse backgrounds. So it definitely starts there. And I think it starts even before the students get it to college. I think that, for example, and I can only speak from perhaps maybe the African-American community, okay? Mm-hmm. So if, let's say that I'm going to go to college. A lot of African-American students will, when they go to college, they'll think, what are you going to do? Well, maybe I'm going to go to education because that's something that is really valued in the community. So many of them may go into education. Maybe they might have teachers in their families, so things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So that, for one, is going to be the strongest thing. The second thing is, if they're going to go to college, they might get a parent who might tell them, you're going to do something that's going to make money. So they might then go into business or science or something like that. So journalism or public relations is something, A, they may not even heard of, but two, it's not going to give them the return that their parents who were paying for their education thinks they should do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think that has a lot to do with it in terms of getting people down in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. So when I ask students, you know, where did you hear about public relations? If I have a student of color who is in my class and I'll ask them, where did you hear about public relations? And they'll say, oh, my aunt works in the field, or, you know, my neighbor or something like that. So they often have heard of it from someone else, but never, I've never had anyone say, oh, I attended a fair, oh, someone came to our class and talked, or, you know, my advisor, my counselor told me that I should think about that. So there's a lot of work that we still need to do to get people actually in the pipeline and in that pipelining and in that thinking earlier. I myself didn't know anything about public relations. I'm a journalist by trade. I always say that. I am a journalist. I went to journalism school. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about PR. I wanted to be a journalist. And it just so happened that one of the classes that I took that was on my elective was a PR class. It was actually elective. I think in our department, it's not an elective. Mm-hmm. It's part of the program. So I took an elective class in PR and I thought, oh, okay, that was fun. You know, but I continued on, you know, in the journalism path, but I had that course and I had that introduction and I did think, wow, that was interesting, a different way of using my same set of skills that I use in journalism. So it wasn't until I got to, after working in journalism, and then I moved to Arizona and I start working for U-Haul, and the job that they had was internal communication on their newspaper, i.e. it was PR. So it just one of those things. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't even have ever replied of it. If they had the word public relations, I would have been like, But because it was really internal communication. So I think in short answer, I think that the field still has a lot more education to do. PR needs way more PR. If we want to get the pipeline as diverse as it should be and can be.
And you also said that the students who were aware of public relations, it sounds like they were seeing other people in that field, another way they were learning about it.
Yes, and I think that is super important. I think there's something in the Black community in terms of education is, you know, each one reach one, you know, each one teach one, that sort of, slogan was, I heard a lot. But I think so it's really important to, in recruitment efforts, to have people who look like the people that you want to recruit. It's really important. It's that important, because we do the same thing when you're marketing to the community. You make sure that people in your ads and your communication efforts, your speakers look like the people you're targeting. Mm-hmm. But yet, we don't send people out in recruitment efforts who look like the people that we're trying to recruit. So that then becomes a problem as well.
That's interesting. We did, my lab group did an analysis of agency websites. I think it was a year ago or 2 years ago. I just thought of this. And one of the things we looked at was just who's on the website. They're talking about diverse recruiting diversity. Are there diverse people on their website? And the only examples of diversity we could find were clearly photos that they had purchased. They weren't real photos. Mm-hmm. They were staged photos. And and it would be like a woman in a hijab or something that was like very different. It wasn't in the setting that you would see in an agency anyway. It's like they'd grab some photos and posted them, but there wasn't any agency represented any diversity represented in their agency. So yeah, that's interesting. That's a really
right. Yeah. So I would definitely, if I were doing this, I know that we might talk about this later, but if I were recruiting people from, you know, trying to diversify the field, I would definitely tap the people who are, you know, actually members of those communities, African American, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, whatever. I would tap into them. I would ask for their assistance because they're going to be really important in bringing more into the field. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, in the 20 years that I've been teaching in public relations and even in the field, I don't think anyone has ever asked me to go out and recruit. Anyone has ever asked me to talk to a group of people who might be considering public relations. Maybe one time in journalism, but it's pretty shocking to me, actually. Now that I think about it.
Well, the dean needs to use you to help recruit.
It's really, really important that we do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So then let's move into some recommendations that you have for the field, and that would be both around recruitment but also retention of diversity in agencies. So what's your recommendation, and how can employers improve diversity in their agencies?
Okay, well, let's first, I did a quick research to find out what was the actual ethnic makeup of the PR industry, because I really wanted to know, because I thought, well, hopefully it's still not the same as it was when, you know, I was actually a working profession. No, but it is, you know, it's the same or hasn't changed or maybe a little bit. So the ethnic makeup of the PR industry in the U.S. is 87.9% white. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. 8.3 African American, 5.7 Hispanic American, 2.6 Asian American. Mm-hmm. So we all know, we've been heard the statistics, 2020 is going to be, you know, a huge, you know, 36% of the U.S. population will be, you know, Blacks, Asian, you know, Hispanic, mm-hmm. Latinos, Native American. And the field is nowhere close mm-hmm. to getting there, mm-hmm. if that's where we are right now. Right. Nowhere close.
Yeah.
You know, so you're right. So I think companies definitely have to be more purposeful and deliberate in how they recruit, but also how they retain and how they advance diverse talents once they're actually in the workforce. So for me, diversity and inclusion, we hear that all the time, D&I, that they're different. They're absolutely different. Mm-hmm. We live in central Pennsylvania, right? So, well, thanks to the university, you know, there's some diversity in central Pennsylvania. Some, I would say, you know, but I can literally go all day without seeing another person who looks like me on campus. If I so choose, depending on my path, I can literally go the entire day without seeing anyone on campus who looks like me, especially in the summer. Yeah. And definitely around central Pennsylvania, I can definitely go an entire weekend without seeing anybody who looks like me. So, and there are a lot of music festivals and events in the summer, but rarely is there anything that I want to attend. So I don't feel included. I don't feel like my wants, interests, and needs and things that I value and the music that I might value, the music that I may grow up with and the music that I want to listen to, it's not here. So companies and cities and organizations and corporations need to do a much better job in diversity, but also in inclusion. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a huge problem. It's like people of diversity, you know, backgrounds that you have in your offices and your jobs, you know, we have to engage those members. We have to make sure that, you know, their wants, interests, and needs are being met. Mm-hmm. Here's another funny story, because I'm way more critical. I'm always watching. I'm always looking to see, you know, what companies are doing with diversity and inclusion. So I pay attention to that a lot. So I was just watching, let's say, the 4th of July parade that happened in State College. It's a huge parade. Everyone around, there were so many people around. I can literally tell you how many people of color I saw walking around just watching the parade, number one. Mm-hmm. But actually, I watched the entire 4th of July parade from the beginning to the end. And I only saw the people of color who were actually in the parade were the scholars, the millennial scholars who were actually holding the float, you know, trying to hold the float, which for me, they were actually working, you know. But the only person of color was a cardboard cutout that came in one of the floats. And I think it was Rosa Parks. And I was like, really? Wow. Really?
Wow.
Oh my gosh. So like, wow. You couldn't find any administrator, no one in the organization, nothing. And so again, so why would I want to live here? Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm included in the music. I don't feel like I'm included in anything when I go out and watch something and want to enjoy. I just feel like I'm just forgotten about. Diversity and inclusion are different. So we have to, I think people have done a really good job of understanding that they have to have a diverse workforce, and they really try those things and, you know, and recruit and things like that. But now we need to work on, you know, retaining and making sure inclusion happens, making sure we're engaging, making sure those people who we have who are still underrepresented in those communities, making sure that they feel value, they feel welcome, they feel like opportunities are available to them, they feel like they matter,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of thing. And I don't know if companies really understand the importance of that.
That's interesting. So it's not just about recruitment, but it's about inclusion to retain employees, considering their needs,
considering their needs and making sure. I mean, we just had that. I don't know if you knew this, but I sit on the diversity committee for Penn State, our department, mm-hmm. for the College of Communication. And one of the things we talked about is some students of color kind of felt like they weren't included in some of the student organizations, you know, meetings and planning and activities and events that they have organized. And I can 100% see that, see why they would say that. Because if you look at the activities that they host, it may not be something that I, being a person of color, especially, you know, i.e. African-American, maybe I'm not interested in going to, you know, spring break and, you know, in Florida, and I don't need to know about, you know, how to, you know, not sunburn or, you know, just things like that. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but you're understanding that you have to make sure that you're meeting the needs of all your members in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be with, you know, things that they're interested in, you know, music that they're interested in. I attend an all-white church, and does it feed my need? I grew up in a Pentecostal church, so it doesn't even come close to what I'm used to, you know. So I at least try to talk to the musician, and I'll say, can we like get a little bit more like upbeat music, you know, in here, or something, a little bit more fire. You know, I know we're never going to get to what I'm used to, what I grew up in, but maybe we can like turn it up a little bit, you know, so I at least can clap my hands and pat my feet, because that's something that I'm used to, you know. So it's just stuff like that. So I think I've made a whole bunch of compromise, but I don't know if it's gone the other way. And I think that's important for companies to understand, you know, when you right. recruit people who are from diverse backgrounds, they may have food choices or different things in their culture that are going to be really special to them. So you have to make sure that that's provided. Like when people recruit, you know, African-American students to Penn State, one of the first things the students that I hear when I go to any kind of get together, they want to know, well, where do we get our hair done? Where is there a barber here? Is there someone who does, you know, we get black hair care, you know, things like that. That's inclusive. And I think that's important that the university has to work on those things. They have to be a partner with the community and make sure that if you're going to bring people here who are from diverse backgrounds, you have to make sure their needs are met. I think we do it really well with the international community. I see international markets, things like that. I think we do that way better than we do for other groups.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good insight from the perspective of diverse students and also diverse employees. What are the needs, and make sure that you're paying attention to that. So we have about 2 minutes left. I wanted to ask you about advice that you would have for young professionals, maybe somebody starting out in the field or someone who's just moved into management, about diversity in the workplace. As we're thinking about diversity in the workplace, what can they do to contribute to increase diversity in an agency or in another organization? What's your advice?
My biggest advice is the same thing that I tell my students, and that really is to never stop learning, you know, never stop learning, educate yourself, you know, and you have to always, you know, can we stop and start over for a second? Because one thing, your sound was going in and out, so it kind of threw me off. So you might want to ask that question again, and then we can edit out that.
Sure, I'll edit this part out. Okay, good.
Yeah, because you're, sound was going in and out.
Sorry. Yeah, I know this crazy computer. All right. Pause for a second so I'll know where to cut it. Okay, so we have about 2 minutes left. I have one last question for you about diversity in the workplace. What advice would you have for young professionals, new professionals, maybe somebody who's just starting out in the field or someone who's a manager for the first time? What would your advice be about contributing to diversity or helping to encourage diversity in the workplace, in an agency or in an organization of some sort?
I mean, the first thing that I would say is understand how important diversity is. You know, diversity in public relations, for example, is an important issue that needs it's a constant thing that we have to work on. You don't just like, oh, we achieved it and we're done. You know, it's a constant thing. So number one, so I think people definitely need to understand that and how important it is, especially to keep businesses, you know, competitive and keeping ideas flowing that are, you know, diverse and new and things like that. So the first thing is, you know, never stop learning, is really educate yourself and just make sure that, that you're paying attention to when you're constructing messages and target audiences and, you know, campaigns, that you ask yourself, have we included everyone? You know, have we make sure that we've done our research to make sure that when we create this campaign or we do, you know, we make this speech or we do this, you know, whatever, that, you know, we are being inclusive and not, you know, offending anyone. So I'm always shocked at the number of incidents that happen of a company that missed the mark. It's like, does anyone do research anymore? So, you know, do your research, do your homework. And not only from a professional level, but from a personal level. I mean, you can't communicate to a diverse community or multicultural society if you yourself don't understand your own biases, if you don't understand, you know, about these various communities, if you don't truly, are you not genuine? These communities will know if you are not genuine. And if you're just kind of cashing in, they'll know the difference. So you have to be authentic in your communication. So you got to do some work and you have to, like, you know, keep the conversation going, but you got to do it in your personal life and your professional's life. They can't be separate.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. That's great advice. This is really interesting, an interesting topic. Thanks for sharing about your own experiences and what you're observing and sharing from your expertise.